This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, final hour here of Brock and Salk. Seahawks, of course, on Monday Night Football tonight. ESPN, going to be a blast. 5:30, you can hear the kick here on 710 ESPN Seattle. And Booger McFarland's going to be doing this game, of course, on the sidelines for ESPN as part of their new Monday Night crew. He joins us here in the Venue Kings Hotline. And Booger, understand you had the opportunity to sit down with Pete in the pre-production meeting. What'd you learn?
Well, just how confident Pete is, you know, coming off the game last week where they had an opportunity to win. The defense played okay. Russell made a ton of plays, just improvising like Russell always does. You know, a lot of people would have came out of that game a bit disappointed, man, but Pete came out of the game. He was pretty confident. He said his offensive line didn't play as bad as people thought they did. He said his defense, he thought played well, especially at the safety position. So, that was kind of the alarming thing because, to me, Seattle is held to a higher standard. Like, if you think about them, you think about, you know, the days of yonder year with the physical running game and the defense that just suffocates you and they make plays. And I don't see the same Seattle team. But, you know, Pete's still pretty optimistic, so that kind of stood out to me.
Well, that's where I want to go, I guess, next, Boog, is you and Jason and Joe going to be on the call tonight on Monday Night Football. You watch the tape, so you know some of the limitations that are there. Was it surprising to you that he was that just confident and cocksure of himself, knowing what you watched actually on tape for 60 minutes?
Well, yeah, because you had a running game. They only ran the football 16 times. And, you know, when you talk to Pete and Shai, they both kind of made a couple of excuses. Like, yeah, you know, some long yardage situations and, you know, we didn't have the ball that much. And I'm saying to myself, listen, if you want to have the ball, run the football, control the tempo, control the clock. Don't talk about it after the game. And so I think while I would be optimistic in certain areas, one of the areas that I wouldn't be optimistic in is, one, my quarterback, he still hasn't understood the ability. I know he makes some plays out of the pocket, but at some point Russell Wilson gets his offensive line in trouble by dropping 15 yards deep and scrambling all around the place. Like, you don't know where to push your guy at. And so when you bring Brian Schottenheimer in and say, okay, let's do some quick threes, some quick fives, get the ball out of his hands, in the first game of the year, he reverts back to what he's always been. That would concern me because why did you bring Shot in? Like, we could have kept Daryl Bevel to deal with the same thing. And defensively, to me, it's the injuries, man. Like, you're so injured. KJ Wright, Bobby Wagner's not going to play tonight. Like, they have a ton of guys that are physically unable to perform. So it's a very young defense. And, oh, by the way, Pete's trying to implement a couple new coverages just to get away from the cover three and the three cloud that they've played for the last 7 or 8 years.
So you sit up there on your what's your perch called, Booger? Is that like a crane? What do you officially like to call the Booger spot up there?
Well, it's the Booger Mobile. I don't really have a name. I've sent out some sponsorship packets, and I'm waiting to hear back from people. So if there's anybody in Seattle, Seattle's Best Coffee, if they want to sponsor the Booger Mobile, my people can contact their people, and we can get this thing moving.
You ever sit up there in the Boogmobile and just want to yell, like, run, or to Russell tonight, step up? You have any, like, inclination as you're up there to be hollering at the boys at the line of scrimmage?
Nah, man. Here's the thing, and I think it's been documented. Boog is afraid of heights. So I usually try to be still up there and don't look down. So the fact of being, you know, yelling and having a lot of impromptu things is really not going through my mind. The only thing I'm thinking about is, seatbelt fast and eyes ahead. That's all I think about when I'm 10 feet in the air.
How about Khalil Mack? How much are the Seahawks going to be thinking about him tonight?
Well, Seattle better think a lot about him. But, you know, Jermaine Effetti, I'm pretty sure he hadn't slept since probably about Wednesday. But if you're Seattle and you're Pete Carroll and you're Brian Schottenheimer, and when the game's over tonight, if Khalil Mack has been a major factor in the game, shame on you. Like, shame on you. Like, we all know what he is. And so if you're going to allow this man to wreck your game plan and beat you, then that's your fault. I was always told by great coaches, I'm going to take away what you do best, and I'm not going to allow you to beat me doing what you do best. Well, Khalil Mack, the defensive player of the year, he's made All-Pro at two positions. He wrecked Green Bay's game plan in the first half last week. So we know what he is. So if you don't chip him, if you don't double-team him, if you don't slide the line toward him, then shame on Shoddy and shame on Pete. So I think they'll give him extra attention. But if he controls the game, then Seattle has made a major mistake.
Booger McFarland with us. You'll hear him tonight in the Booger Mobile on the new Monday Night Football crew. So did Von Miller wreck the game last week? Should last week been a lesson to all of them? Like, hey, man, you can't leave that guy just one-on-one in multiple situations and let him have three sacks, force fumble, take the game over. Was last week just a reminder of that?
Well, it was, but let's break it down on those three sacks. One sack, he beat Jermaine Ifedi just pure. It was a great one-on-one. There was another sack that Russell Wilson was rolling to the left. He tried to spin back right, and he got sacked. And then the third one was the actual TE game where he came underneath and Russell stepped straight up in the pocket. So if you go back and you analyze the three sacks, yeah, Von Miller made a lot of plays, but they were because of a Fetty, and the other two was because protection, and then Russell just not really knowing where his protection was. And then when you get Von Miller just making strip sacks, that's just playmakers being playmakers. Seattle should have adjusted. I thought they did. Like, they had a chance to win the game. And the fact that they didn't, even though Von Miller had a huge day, I think there's enough blame to go around, especially defensively, you know, when you allow Denver to go down and put themselves in that situation to win the game.
Where are you on Russell? He's been like a major source of conversation here recently. And for some reason, there seems to be this odd group out there that just, they're just not fans. They blame him for everything, and they're ready for the Seahawks to trade him for these three number one picks that Jason Lockenfor thinks they're going to get for him if they wanted to try to deal him. How much blame should he shoulder? Where is he in the list of quarterbacks here in this league?
Well, I mean, the guy probably could have won MVP last year. I mean, when your team scores 38 offensive touchdowns, he scores 37 of them. I mean, geez, how much more can he do? But I think the reason people don't put Russell high on the list is because it doesn't look conventional. You know, it's not like the Brock Hewer drop back, quick five-stepping, ball it out. It's not like Tom Brady, he's climbing the pocket, and he's throwing daggers. You know, he is improvising. When you watch tape, it's almost like he calls a play and he says, all right, when all else fails, everybody just start running around, I'll find you. Like, that's what I see when I watch their offense. And I just wonder how much of that is he saying, you know what, Doug Baldwin's been hurt. I don't have the running game that I've always had. A lot of it's on me. And, oh, by the way, nobody in Seattle wants me, but I'm just going to keep going out and making plays. And, oh, yeah, if you want to throw in, I'm only 5'10". So I think the guy is with a chip on his shoulder. I think he understands that he's probably not supposed to be where he is now. Like, he's defying all odds. But I think the way he plays the quarterback position is so different that I think people aren't used to seeing different. And when it doesn't look like Breeze, Brady, Rodgers, or a young Brock Hewitt, then people get frustrated.
Yeah, even after 7 years, they still can't understand different. Hey, Boog, last thing here for me is, what do you expect to see tonight in this matchup with the Bears? Everybody you talk to, all the tape you watch, all the preparation you guys got going in, what do you think happens in these 60 minutes?
Well, Russell's going to need to pull a rabbit out of his hat tonight. When you're playing without K.J. Wright, when you're playing without Bobby Wagner, when your defense is going to be so young, on the field, they're going to be forced to make a ton of plays. Now, they can, because they're going against a guy, Mitch Trubisky, who's only made 13 starts. So he's still a rookie in my mind, even though he's in his second year. Like, when you've only made 13 starts, like, he's still a rookie as far as games are concerned. Now, on the other side of the ball, Russell against this Bears defense, to me, is where you want to watch the game, because this Bears defense has a chance to be nasty. And if Russell can make some plays and give his team some confidence, I think it can be a fourth-quarter game. But if you're looking at the game on paper, I think the Seahawks have a tough road to hoe tonight.
Going to be a fun one, man. First of all, congratulations on the new gig. It's been I really enjoyed the first broadcast. Thought you guys did a great job. And looking forward to hearing a lot more from all of you guys. Booger McFarland will be on the call tonight on Monday Night Football. Thanks again, man. We appreciate it.
Anytime, man. Thanks, Brock. Take it easy, buddy.
Oh, you got it, Boogs. We'll do for sure.
All right, there you go. There's Booger McFarland is going to be calling the game tonight on Monday Night Football. Some people saying that they should call that cart of his the paying customer view obstructor. But no, I believe that there's a little television on the back of it.
Yeah, they got like a 56-inch flat screen on that.
So
baby,
as it's cruising around, like, you know, you can still see what's going on.
You see better than usual, man. Yeah. First row, you can't see anything anyway.
It's not so serious. Other people saying, tell them that the new Monday Night Football crew stinks.
I don't think so. I think they might end up being pretty good.
Well,
I kind of like Booger. He adds a nice personality to it. I think Tessitore knows what he's doing, and we'll see if Jason Witten develops into anything. Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't, see you later.
Yep.
And you just move Booger right into that spot. So I actually kind of think they've done a good job of
so
that.
So have you thought about the way you want this game to look tonight on Monday? Give me that little Monday Night Football stinger, man. Get my juices flowing a little bit with a little Monday Night Football as they get ready to get going here. And it's Russell and crew and so many unfamiliar names. Have you figured out what...
Yeah.
By the way, Pete has owned this night. Pete and the Seahawks have owned this night. I think last year the Atlanta was like one of their first losses on Monday Night Football as a program. Have you figured out the way you want this thing to look tonight? Do you want Russ of 2015 ball out? Right, the second half of 2015 where Russell had a QB rating of like 128, right?
No, I want the Russ of 2016 who gets him hit immediately upon getting the ball.
You want him in the shotgun, Mike? You want to distribute? You want to get the ball out? You want to say, you know, Khalil Mack is a huge focus for us, and we're not going to be running this crazy deep play action pass or asking you to drop back seven steps. It's going to be that ball is out of your hand in 2.5 seconds or less. Mm-hmm. Or do you want to line up and say, you know what, we'll put two and three tight ends on the field. And we'll see how big and bad and tough you are. And your rookie first-round linebacker that missed camp and Floyd who's got a big old cast on one hand. And Khalil, you love to rush the passer, but do you want to take on 270 of Will Dissly, like play in and play out? You know, if you had to choose kind of your druthers here of knowing also what you've got complementing it defensively, have you kind of decided in your mind's eye how you'd like this thing to look here at 5 o'clock tonight? Because I don't think you have many other options.
No.
I think those are the two ways.
I've been sort of expecting a, like, you know, kind of a messy game that comes down to the fourth quarter. Is that not what it's going to be?
Yeah, but your game plan, man. You're going to be hard on Brian Schottenheimer if this doesn't go the right way tomorrow. It's just the natural inclination,
no.
Right? It's yeah, you will.
No, I won't.
Yeah.
No,
that's
not true.
Actually, I'm gonna predict that you will if it doesn't go right. And they come out and they throw, you know, two times, boom, boom, ball out of their hands, and they don't run it on first down, and they don't run it on second, and they don't run it on third. I mean, do you want it to be a little kind of ugly game that way? Get to the fourth and just kind of. Run it and punt it and trust Michael Dickson. And you know what? You give up a field goal here. You give up a touchdown there. But at least, you know, we kind of get the game in the fourth quarter.
Yes.
Because I don't think you got a lot of options.
No, they don't have any linebackers. They don't have any wide receivers. They don't have any cornerbacks.
As limited as you are defensively, right, you have got to, I think, make a choice then offensively where you can dictate. Where you do have a quarterback that has played 7 years in this league that can have a governor, Mike, and pull back the risk. Or you could also ask him to say, forget this, man. We're going to get out here. We're going to go a lot of gun, and you're going to simply get the ball out of your
I want to see Russell Wilson look like he did the last time they were in Chicago. I want to see him running read option, allowing Chris Carson to do his thing, and then sometimes pulling it and keeping the ends off balance and using Khalil Mack's aggressiveness against him. And then once you're able to kind of slow down some of that pass rush, then using play action off of it.
Yep.
That's almost always what I want the Seahawks game plan to be. And for whatever reason, they just haven't really been able to fully execute that over the last years. But that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, and
that's what I'm always looking
for. And we can talk about all that they don't have defensively, and they don't have a lot defensively. But really, for three quarters of the Denver game, you have everything that you had then. Right, Doug went out in the first quarter of that game. Fluker didn't play in that game. And you're not playing in heat and altitude and anything else. So you've got everybody else. J.R. Sweezy with another week and an extra day and a Monday night game. Right, you've got your tight ends. You've got every other receiver, I believe. Right, Brandon Marshall and the rest of them are all going to be active. You got your three running backs. You got Russ. So you better be prepared, you know, Shoddy and crew, in my mind, to go score 30 points. It has to be your mindset going in. Is not to score 13, but to score 30. And then, oh, by the way, the most critical phase tonight. The most critical phase of this game is special teams. You have to dominate that thing. Michael Dickson, you have to flip the field every single occasion and make Mitch Trubisky drive a long field. You have to help shorten the game, too. Mm. Sebastian Janikowski, you cannot miss a field goal tonight. I mean, you just cannot afford to miss.
In a hard place to kick, right?
Yes, but you can't afford to miss one kick. Coverage teams, every yard matters. You better make it as long a field for them, and you better be as sure at tackling. Yeah. Brian Schneider, your crew, that special teams phase, that third phase of it. And, oh, by the way, Tyler, if you want to break a tackle and you want to get a lane, I know there's going to be a lot of new people in the special teams phase. With all these injuries, it trickles down and affects that one. That special teams phase, you can't be even, right? You've got to be leaving this thing really dominating that phase of the game. So
those are all things they can do. I mean, you know, it's funny when you got as many injuries as they have, it's easy to get caught up in what they can't do.
Yes.
But everything you just mentioned are things they can do. This should not affect their ability to run the ball.
Nope.
This should not affect Russell's ability to be Russell Wilson. This should not affect their special teams hardly at all. I mean, these are all things that the Seahawks still have an opportunity to dominate in. And you still have some playmakers and you still expect Earl Thomas to do his thing and some of the other things that they kind of give them a pretty good shot. But again, I just everything about this season just feels a little bit different than it has the last few. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just a much more open-minded view of what a game can look like and the amount of pressure that's on them to go do that.
Yep, I don't think there's any question about that.
I mean, are they favored tonight with all these injuries? Like, I don't know what the line is, but I can't imagine that they're still favored in a game like this on the road after losing last week and missing half their team. So that kind of is freeing, and go out and do your thing, and there's no pressure on you. Go try to win a game on the road in Chicago and remind everybody that you're still the Seattle Seahawks.
And how many times have we been on the other side of this?
Yeah.
The 0-8 Tampa Bay Buccaneers come in with Harry, Adams, Apple, Mike Glennon, right? That the Washington Redskins come in with five dudes off the street. How many times have we been on the other side of this ledger? And every time it's a dogfight, you're like, man, why aren't they just blown? Because it's the NFL. And it's really hard to blow people out other than the Bills and Cardinals.
Well, Brock, I know you had a pretty good game over the week. Your second great game in a row, man. You've had some
third
great
football. All three of them have come down the final 5 minutes.
Man, you've just been incredibly lucky so far with the games. Wisconsin and BYU in Madison.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought you did a great job. I listened and watched and thought that you did a fantastic broadcast as always. But it turns out not everyone agreed with that. In fact, some of the tweets you got were once again kind of on the nasty side.
Brock Heward comes off as the most bitter ex-athlete in the history of sports, LOL. Whoa. He may not be, but he comes off that way. Buzzkill, Brock. Hey, Brock, 1997 called. It wants its hairstyle back. Hashtag NSYNC.
Oh, whoa. Your hair did look good. Heather and I were actually noticing that your hair looked like. You looked very youthful with your hair.
Did I?
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah, Cecily was very excited to see you on screen. She was waving to you and then asked me whether or not you could see her. And I said, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so she kept waving.
You got to text me next time,
right,
and I'll wave back.
Sure.
Text me.
Brock Heward's tone makes it sound like he's scolding you for listening to rap music in your bedroom with too many curse words in it.
All right, hold on. That's not a mean tweet. That's just true. That is actually true. You do sort of have a scolding tone sometimes on the air. Like, I'll agree with that. No, and not in a bad way. Like, really? How did you ever think that, Kyle? You ever
think
that, like,
yeah.
There's a little bit of, like, a, guys, you really shouldn't do this element to what you're saying.
It would make you feel really bad about stuff.
A little, yeah. I don't think that's a mean tweet. I think that's just more of a,
like, I agree. Okay.
A takeaway.
I did not just see Brock Heward chugging a carton of milk right now in the middle of the broadcast. LOL. This dude is such a goober. I love it.
Did you do that? Chug milk?
It wasn't milk.
Oh, okay.
It was apple cider vinegar mixed with protein. I did do that and make some ugly faces that Lydia then tweeted out for the country to see.
Why did you do that?
Yes. Why did we do that? I don't know. We didn't even know. And yeah. Anyhow, this isn't about me.
What?
It's actually specifically about you. Why did you?
No, we didn't know. So our stage operator, Gus, greatest guy ever, though he fell asleep in the first minute of the game last week, he comes in on the set, and he comes in with, like, while we're on the air, and our producer's like, okay, you're going on. And Gus is right there like, what are you doing here? And he's trying to hand us these drinks. So we had no, it was totally, totally ad lib, had no idea. But it's what Wisconsin drinks to deal with the heat. And of course, with shoes and those Northeastern guys wouldn't even drink it. I'm not drinking
milk and apple cider vinegar mixed together. That's what they drink.
They drink, it's a protein, it's a whey protein and apple cider vinegar.
So
why don't they just vomit in each other's mouths?
I puked on while drinking apple cider vinegar a few years ago.
Yep.
Brock Heward is a two-word.
What does that mean?
Like Heward.
T-U-A-R-D?
Yeah.
Like a turd.
Yeah.
Oh, I get it. An A in there.
I get it.
Oh, Brock puts people to sleep as a commentator.
Is that true?
I hate Brock Heward so much!
Brock is just horrible.
Wow.
I would rather listen to a live feed of a Taco Bell bathroom than ever have to listen to Brock Heward call another football game.
Whoa. That was a Wisconsin person there?
Yeah.
It That's tough. I saw them all doing Shocked Cobra at the end of the game, though.
Oh, there was a bunch.
I saw a lot of Shocked Cobra at the end of that one. Oh, no, I can't believe it. We lost. Ah.
41 consecutive in a row versus non-conference foes. We had a little Aflac question. You want a little Aflac question? See if you can answer this one. I think Kyle can in. We'll see if Salky, how good your memory is. So that was like the fourth longest streak, dating back to 2003. They had beaten 41 non-conference foes at home.
Okay.
There was a Hewitt involved in the second longest streak all time. So the second longest streak in the history of college football had a Hewitt involved in it, where went on the road and won a certain game to break the second longest home streak against non-conference foes. Can you guess who it was?
No.
Anybody in the back? Kyle? Anybody?
No.
Anybody? Howdy? Anybody in the back? Come on. The second longest.
Was it Luke?
The second longest streak.
Did Luke go somewhere from UNC?
Possibly. Possibly. Second longest streak in the history of college football.
Of beating non-conference opponents at home?
Non-conference foes. It went like a decade and a half.
On Saturdays, only in October afternoon?
Nope. Just non-conference at home. And they had tombstones. They had tombstones that they put up for every opponent. They had over 50 of them.
Florida State.
In the Orange Bowl lined up.
Miami.
When Napoleon Kaufman, Richard Thomas, Bob Sapp, and Damon Hewitt, and Ernie Conwell, and Mark Bruner and crew went down for the whammy in Miami.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and beat those Hurricanes, Dennis Erickson, Frank Costa.
They had tombstones put up for non-conference opponents at home?
Yes, they
That is did. A really weird record to be that excited about that you're making decals.
Some pretty good ones.
Was it?
They played a lot of people in the day where you played a lot
Let's
of people.
See, go do it on the road, man. I don't care what you do at home. Go do it on the road. Then you can start putting out some of those tombstones. All right, those are our mean tweets. Seahawks go tonight, Monday Night Football. More next. I'm Brock and Salk.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
Oh, really? You think I just paint everything?
I don't think that's what I said. I think that your view on things like that is often skewed because people look at you and think of you as a Husky. And so they ask you about the Huskies and they want to know about Jake Browning.
Yeah, that's true.
And the people that follow you on Twitter care about that specifically.
So my poll question that went out last night, hashtag Epic Poll Sunday, that said, who faces more scrutiny in Seattle? Who faces more scrutiny in Seattle, Jake Browning or Russell Wilson? And I got back a lot of tweets that don't do this. Why are you doing this? He's a college kid.
Why are you mixing this up?
Lydia's point to you, Salk, earlier. Like, you could really make fun of a college kid. You're going to put him out there like that. I had a bunch of folks that responded right away. Like,
isn't he older than Michael Kendricks was when he was insider trading?
I think he's 3 years older than Sam Darnold.
So whatever.
So, yes. I think he's quite a bit older than
That's
Sam.
Fine.
Actually, I don't think he's quite a bit older, but I think he may be older.
Fair game.
But I had a bunch of people say, I said, well, let's see what the results say, right? I mean, that's part of this whole discussion. 56% of people said Jake Browning. In this market, like 6,000 of you voted. 56% of you think there's more scrutiny under Jake Browning than there is of Russell Wilson. Now, that may just be a little presidency bias, and I'm sure if Russell struggles tonight and throws a couple picks and can't beat the Bears and they're 0-2.
See, you're totally different.
And I think you repost that poll, it may be a little bit different.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. Some of the college influence that I have probably in my following base, you know, clouds some of that, but it still leads.
Criticism aside, I mean, the pressure is certainly going to be on Russell tonight, probably more than anything else. And you go back to 2012, it was in Chicago where Russell really first became Russell Wilson. We'd seen him in preseason. He clearly won the job. And there were a lot of people sort of doubting, maybe he can't do it. Maybe he can. He didn't really play great in the first couple games, right? They lost to the Rams and they just didn't quite look like he was going to be a franchise quarterback. And then all of a sudden, end of the game in Chicago, he just completely takes over and ends up winning it.
Lynch in the backfield, first and 10. Play fake, Wilson pumps, looks downfield, throws a dart, Rice in the end zone, touchdown, Seahawks! Bar Judge said touchdown. Bears are scrambling like they've got the ball. It looked like Sidney Rice crossed the end zone.
After review, the ruling of the field stands.
Yes!
The game is over.
Seahawks win in Chicago in overtime.
Of course, Russell's first signature moment would require the refs to, like, gather and determine what the heck had actually happened, God forbid. But that was his day, as Mike Robb has said before.
He stared adversity in the eyes and he didn't blink. I mean, we thought we had that game won in regulation. We went in overtime. You know, I saw guys taking deep breaths like, ooh, you know, here we go. And Russell was always upbeat. And he said, man, we're going to get in this huddle and we're going to drive down the field. We're going to score. And we're going to get on the plane and we're going to go home and get ready for the next one. And it just surprised me. It surprised me to see a guy that young have that much poise and have that much command of an offense. He's been incredible.
And he took it over. And from that point forward, and remember the second half of that year? Oh, man. It just was unbelievable. And Rabel's calls went from yes to holy catfish to holy mackerel to everything else that has evolved over the last 6 years. And I wonder if there's a little part, and Russell doesn't focus on nostalgia. I mean, his mind is so, you know, just sharp on the here and the now. And everything he does in his training is to be so present, not in the past. But I bet you when those trucks pull up, I know for me, I would. Like, this is going back 6 years. I've been here before. I've done this before. I was doubted in this building before, even by my own team, even by guys on the team at that point. And frankly, maybe even some coaches on the team that wondered, could he really take it over? And it was just, what, the week or two before where he was on that plane with Warren Moon and went up to him and said, hey, man, they just got to let me go. Like, they got the reins on me. Like, I just feel like I can do more. They've got to give me more.
It's so interesting that right now the conversation is, do the reins need to go on Russell so that he gets the ball out a little bit quicker?
Yeah. But that's some of where this crazy narrative has gone over the last 6+ years, right? And where it just took off from that moment, unbelievable highs, and the whole thing built up. And now there's a pretty firm reset. And it's going to be without, you know, a lot of the pieces around. And I think the biggest voice missing today and the most demanding and challenging will be without the other captain and the other leader on the defense.
Bobby Wagner.
He had a groin thing that showed up kind of late. You know, he felt it, but he thought it was a cramp or something during coming out of the game. And it just took him a couple days to, you know, get it assessed. And so maybe he's running. He's already working hard, but he's not quite ready. So we'll get him probably next week.
So he's out. KJ is not making the trip. He's been ruled out with his knee surgery. Doug Baldwin's got his knee, so he's been ruled out. Fluke's enormous hamstring, the size of
he's
most.
He's doubtful. DJ may play.
No, DJ's not playing.
He's doubtful. He could get out there. He's not out.
DJ's not playing.
He's doubtful.
The big man's not practiced for like 2.5 weeks. The big man's not playing tonight. Okay. He's doubtful. He's going to be out. Trey Flowers is doubtful. His little hamstring also got super tight, so he's out. Delano Hill may be out. Shaquille Griffin may be out. He's questionable. He'd be the only one that's a little questionable. Man, and it just leaves you, and you've wondered why the vibe has been kind of different today.
Yeah.
Right? You've wondered why the vibe for a Monday night.
Seahawks.
Yeah, but for a Monday night football game, a game in prime time where this team and this program and Pete and Russ have shined, have taken the country by storm, and they don't lose, is because this cast has got a whole lot of new faces.
Yeah.
Including guys right off the street.
Well, and it's not just that they're new faces. They're not all faces that are even supposed to be there. And I think that's the difference. I've always been able to be okay with the new faces because I think the old ones were getting overrated. But the new faces aren't even necessarily the ones there. You're talking about new backups to backups to new faces. And
yes.
I think that's some of the concern tonight. Lydia, how do you approach a game like this one where you know, for the last few years, Seahawks have been, you know, at the center of everything every Sunday or Monday or Thursday that they're playing. And now all of a sudden this game tonight, it just has a slightly different vibe to it.
How do I approach it as a viewer?
Fan. Yeah. As a person getting excited for it,
are my expectations sort of tempered?
Sure. Lydia, you're the most positive person. So that's why Mike points to you in moments like this. Like, you are epically positive. So do you come into this game watching it tonight with that same unbelievably positive mindset?
Yes. Yeah, and I think if anything, this is one of those games where maybe all logic says that you shouldn't succeed, but that's when I believe Russell Wilson really truly steps up and he'll shine.
Well, I love it. And I'll give you three quick blueprint points to win, okay? In order here of importance, in three ways you're going to win this game and just turn this total tide of conversation into not what you have but instead what you have. And I said it earlier, you've got to dominate special teams. You got to win this game. You took a fifth-round pick. You paid Sebastian Janikowski. Like, those guys have to be nails and dominant and flip the field. And Sebastian, you got to make a 55-yard field goal tonight. You may have to do that. So you have to dominate that phase of the game. Every yard is going to matter. Number two, Russell has to make a big play, or two, or three. He just got to do that. He did it a week ago in Denver, and it's why it was a fourth quarter game. They couldn't do anything on third down. They had 16 run plays. There was a lot of things they couldn't do, but they hit the big play. And he's going to have to not overthrow. Oh, that one just overthrow. Nope, can't do it. Can't do it. When you've got people free tonight and you're going to have some of those opportunities, you will. You've got to hit them. Like, this cannot be a game, Mike, where we sit there and go, oh, my gosh, if you only hit, nope, you got to hit them. You got to hit them. And then lastly, in number three, the great equalizer, as it was last week, is the takeaway. Earl and McDougald versus a rookie. And I like I agree with Booger. This is still a rookie quarterback with 13 games under his belt in a new system with a new coordinator and new pieces.
Who isn't that good?
Yes. And he throws it, and his fundamentals will go adrift, and he'll sling one, and it'll sail, and Earl, yeah, and Bradley, and you've got to be Johnny on the spot.
There is that element where you just kind of look at a game from the complete, you know, as far away, not just 20, 30, 40,000 feet, from like 100,000 feet. You say, okay, who's a better coach? Who's a better quarterback? Seahawks win.
Yep.
Right? I mean, like, that would be my formula for getting myself into a good spot. And say, forget about Bobby Wagner, KJ Wright. They're defensive players. They're linebackers. You can always replace a linebacker. At the end of the day, who's got the better head coach? Who's got the better quarterback? The Seahawks should win. Forget that they're on the road. They'll be all right. They get the better head coach, and maybe even more importantly, they've got the right quarterback. And Mitch Trubisky is not that guy, and Russell Wilson is. So I'm psyched, man. As always, psyched to just see this team. You know, Heather's taking the kids out of the house. Got a little space to sit down in my basement with the TV and just kind of lock in for three and a half hours and watch that whole thing. Yep, tomorrow, of course, this time, we'll be chatting with Pete Carroll over at Seahawks facility. In the meantime, we got to answer your question, 710-710. Powered by Coors Light, any question on any subject, we're ready to answer them. You just ask. Text us next. I'm Brock and Salk.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Brock and Salk. Answer the question, jerk.
Keep asking questions. Come on, I'll answer them. Come on, I'm here. I'm going to answer your questions, dang it.
That's my question! The question, jerk!
Well, don't just stand there. Answer the question, jerk!
All right, let's see what you guys have for us today on a Monday night leading up to Seahawks football this afternoon. 710-710, powered by Coors Light. Any question, we'll answer them. We call it Answer the Question, Jerk. Jerks, how much would it take to rent Boy Howdy for a birthday party? Are you rentable?
Wow. How much food's going to be there?
Oh, so you get paid in food?
I mean, like, it's going to factor in.
All right, let's say you get a free lunch out of it. Lunch and what?
It'd be affordable for you, for sure.
Under $250?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Howdy, do you have the freezer space for half a cow?
I already have a quarter cow in my freezer.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, you guys do that. Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
That's really cool.
I did. Just, like, cut up a cow, stick it in your freezer?
Well, I don't do it personally, but we got a butcher to do it.
You take the hoof off?
No, you want to cook. You want to cook with the hoof on.
You want the hoof on. Yeah.
No, but you get your roast. You get your hamburger. You get your different cuts. Yeah.
All of it. Had a brisket. Smoked it. Was bad.
That's awesome.
It was bad because it was frozen first.
We freeze it. Yeah.
Yeah. What would you do for the kids at the birthday party?
I would start with playing some of my children's songs.
Right.
Definitely be doing that.
Yep.
We'd probably do some interactive story time.
Okay.
Depending on the age of the children, mind you. Young enough children, we're going to need story time. Old enough kids, we're going to play some very rowdy games.
Right. Were you ever a camp counselor, hon?
Yeah, I was an 11- and 12-year-old camp counselor at a camp in Canada.
Were you just
year.
Awesome? I can imagine you being the best camp counselor ever.
I did a Nacho Libre impression. Yep. I was Nacho Libre, and I would pretend to be all sorts of different animal fighting methods, and I would wrestle the kids in the ring.
Awesome.
And they would always just push me out of the ring.
Right.
So,
3, 4.
Driving in my race car, we'll go any place far. So buckle up and we'll go for a ride.
This is a main stage.
Here it comes.
My parents up in the front seat. My dog's begging for a treat.
Beat the Bears.
We're all buckled up and we're going for a ride.
Give a good chat.
Why? Because it's a family road trip. And we're having a good time.
I just want you to know, in our system, Brock, we have three different versions of family road trip.
Yeah.
We have Howdy Family Road Trip Drop. It's 4 seconds long.
Okay.
That was Howdy Family Road Trip Short. It's a minute 53.
Whoa.
And we have a 2:47 full album version.
That's the album
extended
version.
Cut.
And when you're of family road trip. Watching Russell warm up tonight with his beats on, just know that's what's going through it.
It's actually Level Up. It's a child's version of Level Up.
He plays both.
I thought that was also a children's song.
He plays both.
Once you say yummy in my tummy, it's a children's song just as much
as family
road trip.
Yeah, what if he's cheating on Sierra with my song?
Well,
maybe.
Didn't you do the Level Up? You did your own kids' version of Level Up, didn't you?
I absolutely did.
See if you can find that.
Oh, no.
It's hard to listen to.
No, it was really good.
It's really hard to listen to.
Hopefully I don't have that.
You do.
Level up, 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 level up.
That's enough. Not doing it.
Oh, so yummy.
The yummy in the tummy.
All this on me. Oh, so yummy. All this, oh, so yummy.
I'm going to vomit.
Too much.
You know you want this yummy, yummy all in your tummy.
I can't. I'm sorry. I'm calling it, guys. I appreciate that you wanted to hear more.
That's enough.
Yeah, that's enough. Jerks.
Next question.
What's your favorite kind of rental car?
It's a great question, because I've got to make that choice basically every Thursday night when I pull into the National Rental Car lot, and I've got kind of the gamut there
litter
to choose from. Yeah.
Are you asking for like a pure joy aspect, or do you need it to function for a specific reason?
I'll tell you what
reason
I look for, and I'm just being honest here. I look for a Toyota Camry.
Classic.
Just simple. You know what you're going to get.
You know exactly what you're going to get, and it's a pretty darn good ride. That's like my number one that I go for. You? I've got truck.
I generally rent a car is when we're in Phoenix for spring training. And
right.
Kyle and I usually look for something big, like whatever kind of SUV.
A midsize, a nice crossover, something you can still park.
Yeah, but we want something large enough for the golf clubs.
You know what I love about Wischusen? He goes minivan
every time.
Not every time, but if there's one there, that's what he's choosing.
That's a comfortable ride.
Yeah, he just rocks it because he's got five kids at home, and they rock the minivan at home.
But why does he want to do that on the road?
They ride so smooth.
Yeah.
So smooth.
They do.
Jerk, sleep with socks or sleep without socks?
Never socks.
Never socks.
I got to say, that grosses me out.
Your feet have to breathe.
Yep.
Let them breathe. Let them out.
When Heather sleeps with socks, it like really bums me out. I have trouble with it. Uh-oh. Lydia definitely sleeps with socks.
What about when it's cold?
No.
Nope.
Never,
under the covers,
ever?
Regular
blankets,
socks, wool socks
sheets,
over the top.
No way.
Nope, nope, nope,
no.
No,
never, not
all
even
of
for
that.
A second.
No, 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 no.
Not never. Even nap time.
Yep.
You know it's nap time.
Ooh,
and
when the socks
and
come
it's
off.
Good nap time when you're like, yep, final thing right here, let me just kick these socks off.
I have very poor circulation in my hands and my feet, so if I don't have something on them, I get real cold.
I also have poor circulation in my hands and my feet, but if I'm under covers, I don't want socks.
No way.
It bugs
Lydia,
me out.
You got to let them breathe. Let them out.
Let those puppies breathe.
Freeze, Lydia. You got to freeze.
Let the puppies breathe.
Nope, they'll warm up under the covers.
You can throw a couple extra blankets on top of your feet.
Yes.
Next question.
Jerks, I wore my white Earl Thomas jersey to work today, and some of my coworkers don't think it's right, since Blue Friday is typically when you wear your Hawks gear.
Oh.
Since they play on a Monday and it's a special occasion, it makes perfect sense to rock your jersey today, right?
Especially a white one.
Doesn't it depend what you do for a living?
I don't know. Ashley's rocking a jersey right there.
What do you...
Yeah.
Sherm.
Whoa.
Rocking the Sherm jersey? I don't know about all that.
Yeah. So about that. So about...
Next question.
So about that jersey, we're going to have to talk.
Jerks, today is National Monte Cristo Day. Are they gross, disgusting, or both?
I think they're good. That's the French toast one?
I think so, yeah.
With the ham and cheese in the middle?
They involve egg in some way,
what's
right?
What's the difference between a Reuben?
Here's silly me thinking it was about the book. I was like, oh, wow.
Oh, no,
not the count of, no.
What's the difference between a Reuben and a Monte Cristo?
Well, a Reuben...
Fried ham and cheese sandwich.
Fried ham and cheese.
With, kind of like an egg-battered bread.
I don't know that I've ever really had a Monte Cristo. You put powdered sugar on it at the end,
yeah.
right? So they're more similar to a croque monsieur or a croque madame.
Oh, okay.
Croque madames are great.
Go on.
You ever had that?
No, I actually have not had a croque madame. But tell me more about the croque madame.
But it may be a little similar to the croque monsieur. Of course, the difference being that in 18th century French aristocracy...
Pretentious elitist alert.
Monte Cristo is a fried ham and cheese sandwich. It's a variation, I'm reading from the elitist website Wikipedia, of a croque monsieur, which is a baked, fried, or boiled ham and cheese sandwich. Croque madame adds...
Don't you boil sandwich. Don't you be boiling sandwiches.
No, boiled ham.
Oh.
No, I don't think you boil the sandwich. The croque madame adds a fried egg on it.
Oh, okay.
And maybe you
had a Damon Heward boiled broiled.
Maybe you think a fried egg is elitist. Salmonella. I like fried eggs.
Stay, Brock, you got to stand on your head, dude. You got to stand on your head. You're going to die.
Reuben is just corned beef sauerkraut on rye.
Gotcha.
Russian dressing.
Go beat the Bears. Change this whole narrative.
Pete Carroll Show tomorrow morning at 9:30. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll see you guys tomorrow morning at 7. Till then, the hey.
Mar-mar-mar.
Hey, everybody.
Pretentious elitist alert.
Salt.
Get to the chopper!